I hear the silent, the sirens are screeching their way through consciousness, signaling consciousness that it must awaken out of its dream state. Alerting consciousness, the collective human consciousness, that it is time to wake up. And they are adamant. They are loud. They are noisy. They are shaking consciousness at its very roots. They are shaking it out of its dormancy, out of its deep state of sleep, attempting to bring it out of its self-induced, drugged state. Again, I hear the sirens are screeching through consciousness. The human, mortal consciousness, signaling it to awaken to its divine glory. And that consciousness is recalcitrant, and it likes its dream, and it likes its drug. And it is just totally mesmerized by the images that it has brought forth from its own separated, disjointed, disconnected loins. It is resisting. It doesn't want to give up its dream. It's gotten used to the dream. It's habitual to dream. It doesn't matter if the dream is uncomfortable. It doesn't matter if it gives us pain. We're used to it. And doing something that we're used to, that is habitual, seems more comfortable than doing something new, than waking to our true state of consciousness and being asked to experience something that is different from the cozy little cave that we have sunk into. That consciousness wishes us to live in a much broader frame of reference seems to frighten mortal consciousness, which seems to wish to stay in its drugged state. And all of the manifestations of that drugged state that have come to the surface of our collective attention today are signposts that the general collective consciousness is still drugged, still dreaming, dormant, asleep, and recalcitrant about awakening to its true, ideal state of consciousness. And so, the angels of consciousness sing louder and louder and louder. And their music is glorious. But as it comes through the density of the dream, it sounds distorted and ugly. And as it resonates in the universe, it takes on the appearances that are painful and ugly. But truly, angelic consciousness is only claiming the wholeness and the realization of its true state. It is in a state whereby it cannot help but demand the unity of awakened consciousness on every level of experience. It no longer will even latently ignore that which appears to be adrift, thereby it sings. And its chorus is an angelic chorus. It is the fullness of consciousness, a consciousness of love, and it is beautiful and glorious. And for all who listen, it is redeeming and awakening. And it will stir them out of their sleep and thereby stir them out of pain, the pain of their own departure, of their own separation, of their own fragmentation in consciousness. Live, it says. Live. What is all this dying, it says? Live. What is all this popping in and out of consciousness, it says? Live. Be eternally conscious. What is this awakening and sleeping and waking and sleeping? Live, it says. Be eternally conscious. Join the chorus. Don't flit in and out of the garden. Don't flit in and out of the city. Stay in the city. Stay in the city four square. Let its deep cybernetic spontaneity reverberate within you. Stay in the city and rejoice and sing. And uplift that which appears to wish to drop down, to fall away. It can't really. It doesn't really wish to drift into sleep. It just thinks it does. It's just habitual. It just has gotten so lost in its dream, it has forgotten how to find its way out. And yet the map is right there. Right there. All it has to do is look within the depths of its consciousness. The road map is there. And it's an easy map to follow. It isn't difficult, it's easy. Come on, wake up. It's easy. Look at the map. Follow it. It's a map of the model. Follow it. Wake up. Come on, you can do it. It's not difficult, it's fun. It's joyous. And I hear this chorus of negative response. No, it says, from a distance. No, I don't want to. Like a recalcitrant child that doesn't want to get up to go to school or some other thing. No, you can't make me, I don't want to. No, it doesn't want to make you. It wishes to invite you to awaken. And it, since it is your own deep consciousness, it is always inviting you to awaken. It is always trying to show you the map of the model of your consciousness. It wants you to follow it into a land that is peaceful and fruitful and glorious. Take courage. Take heart. Open your eyes. It's really glorious. It's really beautiful. Oh, we know you've kind of forgotten, but it's beautiful. Open your eyes. Open your mind. Open your thought. It doesn't have to be stuck in the dream. Open the thought. Now. Open your heart. Now. Let go of the pull of the sensual senses that would keep you enthralled in matter. Lift. Open. Reclaim. Reclaim your deep, inner, pure consciousness. Reclaim it. It belongs to you. You can do it. The chorus of true consciousness calls to the dormant human consciousness and bids it to awaken, to open its eyes, to open its heart, to leave off its physically sensed preoccupations and move through the gate into high consciousness, the consciousness that belongs to it. We know habits are hard to break, it says. but they don't have to be. After all, the true consciousness that is yours is always present, and it has always been present, and it will mother you and tend you and care for you and love you and cherish you and honor you. It will not find fault with you, nor tell you that you've been evil or bad. It will embrace you and say, "Oh, you thought you were lost, but you're not. How nice that you've awakened and can join the chorus, can join in the wonderful realization that's going on in the consciousness of the One." It's okay. Truly, it's okay. Don't be afraid. You're not really going into an unknown world, an unknown realm. It's safe. It's a realm of love. It's okay. Good. Take a step, and another, and another, and another. Walk forward. Open your consciousness. You can do it. You can hear the motherhooding sense just saying, "Come on, you can do it. It's all right. I'm there with you. I'm protecting you. I'm caring for you. I'm walking with you. You're never alone. You're never isolated. Come on, I'm with you. I'll help you on your journey. I'll help you follow the map. It's okay. It's okay. I'm always there to meet your every need. I am, after all, divine love, and I am always there, ready to meet your need and help you awaken to your true consciousness." And so it is that the belief of mortality hears the call and turns toward the consciousness of being. And that it has taken the first step is applauded by the motherhood of being. Whether it is consciously conscious of this erroneous behavior or not, it is always applauding that which is true. And encouraging. So it will encourage consciousness to not only turn toward its true state, encourage that erroneous dream state of consciousness to turn toward its true state. but it will help it along the way. And it is helping it. And it is responding. And we will celebrate its journey. And that's where it seems to want to leave that issue, at least for the moment. Though I didn't announce the issue ahead of time, it must have been clear that the issue that was being handled was drugs, and that it wished to take the form that it did in the flow is not predetermined by that which I am, or even necessarily by the collective gathering here, but simply by consciousness itself. It was was a high flow, but it was a kind of interesting, dramatic flow. It was like I was continually hearing these conversations and these echoes in the resonance field of the universe. And it was almost like a conversation between the absolute level of consciousness, where everything is whole and clear and calculating properly and totally conscious, and the Christian Science level, and then below the chart. So it just kept this little interesting conversation going back and forth, and it was like I could hear echoes and resonance in the collective. And so all of that answering was just the motherhooding of being using me at that point, not, you know, as a channel, but just as me, to address the issue in a motherhood sense and nurture and cherish and help the universal child that seemed to be drugged and asleep to desire to awaken to its pure consciousness. It isn't just what appears on the surface to be those who are involved in drugs, you know, or even those who are inadvertently involved in drugs through the medical giving of drugs for disease and so forth, but also, as was quite clear from the flow, it was addressing the fact that all of us, by being in this state of consciousness, this state of dormancy and dream, are to some degree drugged. And that's why it is making these appearances in society today, to make it very clear that that is the issue, and that as we look at it and say, oh, horrors, horrors, you know, it's so much worse, there was never all these drugs before, and blah, blah, we should really be looking and saying it's trying to give us a message. It's trying to give us a message that we are the drugged and that we need to awaken out of this drugged state into our undrugged state, into that state of consciousness that is full and awake and aware and alive and operative and experiencing itself as it is meant to experience itself. So we sometimes misinterpret inadvertently the signs that we have in our universe, thinking, oh my gosh, you know, poor individuals are, you know, so pulled down by this. But truly we are. I mean, this is an objectification of our own observation and our own sense of observation. And who are we really observing if not our own collective selfhood? And so there's nothing outside of us. We really need to remember that. That which appears to be under the influence of alcohol, that which appears to be under the influence of drugs of any kind, is really just manifesting our collective belief of self-induced sleep and self-induced drugging. And we need to find the ways in which we drug ourselves, and we have many, you know, they're hidden and subtle, but we do them. And we need to not look outside of ourselves and cast aspersions, but understand that our collective is quite capable of awakening, and do it.